He took my hand, and we were running across the field, and I saw over here by the fence, every man, I guess, that I have ever been with, and every man who had hurt me emotionally or physically or whatever, and God, and Jesus just, you know, all of that came up, and then it just went away. And then I went into the next field, and I have, I've been diagnosed, I'm not claiming it, but with diabetes. And Jesus showed me how I've been taking my symptoms and experiences with that and putting it above his word. And, you know, and then he hugged me, and then all that came up, and then it went away. And so then when we went over to the house, I had another one, and it was a tea set. And I was a tomboy growing up. I had an older brother, so it was either learn how to survive or die. So I never done tea sets before. Anyway, it was really pretty. And there was like four or five seats, and Jesus was in this one, and I was across from him. And I said, oh, great, who's the other seats for? And he said, no one. He said, this is for me and you, because I love you, and I'm glad we're getting to experience this. So.
Wow. Next.
Come on up.
So all I can say is, wow. We have a great God, and we just don't know it all the time. I was in a session with Greg, and I got to meet God. I got to meet him on his terms, not on mine. I went in asking for control to be loosed and for anger to be loosed. And I bound my spirit to the Holy Spirit, and I bound myself to Jesus. And I went to my special place. And what I got was love. The love of God that I've always felt I've been missing. And what I got was joy. I got love and joy. And it's always been hard for me to tell my wife I love her. But I've already held her and cried on her shoulder and kissed her and told her how much I love her. And how special she is to me, and what a wonderful person she is. And thank God that he gave her to me. We've only been married 4 years, and we came together because we were in ministry together, and we came together because God told us that we needed to be together. And now we can really experience the love that he had planned for us in our relationship. We have a picture or a painting or whatever it is on the wall of our RV. And it's a picture of three rings of thorns, and it says a trifold bond is hard to break. And it's very true, because we've had some rough times, and I just thank the Lord for showing me his love and having me be able to accept it and participate in it. And I just love you all. Praise God.
Okay, so anyway, one of my problems with relating to Jesus has always been, because I've known from the scripture that the husband and wife, they're supposed to represent Jesus and his church. And because of our relationship hasn't been real loving, it's been pretty much, I call it platonic, that, you know, we have a great, you know, ministry relationship, and we're, but that's about it. And, you know, somewhat more, we try. But, so that's been hard for me to think of Jesus as loving, because I don't have that. I didn't have that always with my first husband that passed away. It was up and down. It was like Jekyll and Hyde, you know. So, but I wasn't comparing back then as I was now, and just wondering, you know, how can I understand you when I don't, you know, I wanted to see it in an earthly example, you know, and now I believe that that's going to be real possible. Okay.
Amen. We are sort of at an inflection point where things may be changing a little bit work-wise and other things. And during the second, we had two sessions during ours, too.
And we were in separate groups.
Obviously. Yeah. And during the second session in ours, the group I was in, I was seeing something, and I knew it was for future. I knew it was for things coming. And then got out of the session, came up to the porch, and was sitting there, and he comes up, and he says, "So what did you see?" And he starts reading mine. He says, "I saw the same thing."
Yeah. But it was interesting, because she saw it sort of from the midst of this thing that looked kind of difficult, and the Lord was bringing her through and leading her through it. But I saw it from above, where I just saw how beautiful it was and really wonderful. And so, but it's good, because that we need to be with each other in it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Next. Ready else? So far, the left side of the room's leaving y'all in the dust.
When we were sitting here and we were doing the encounter in here, I saw a picture, and it was like the colors were bright, almost kind of like the pictures that the paint, it comes out and you can touch it and feel the texture. And it was in waves. And I was 8 or 9, and I was wearing pink with a little crown. And the Lord was holding my hand, and he was wearing pink, light pink. They were both light pink with the crown. And there were mountains under his feet. And as the picture was moving, he was his legs stood out to me, because he was climbing over the mountains, and just like with ease, and he was carrying me along. And I didn't get to ask him what that meant yet, but my facilitator said that that means intimacy. And so thankful for that. And then back there, I was a little girl, like 4 or 5, and I was in white. My hair was messy, and I had like a little crown, like it was like wooden crown with little tiny roses on it. And I could just see the back of me, and I was touching the flowers as we were walking through the field. And I can see his hand. I always see his hand. He always tells me to hold his hand. And We were just walking along, and he was like, I was having fun, and then fear started coming in, and he was saying, don't let fear enter in, you know? And my facilitator said, what did she say? Lord, remind me. Give him the fear. Ask him, you know, what the fear is from, and I answered. And then she's like, what are you going to do with it? And I said, I'm going to cast it out. She goes, is that you? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And so I asked him, and he came down, and he grabbed it from my heart, and then he took it, and he's like, now don't take it back, you know? And then we kept walking, and that was a lot.
Hear from this side of the room at least one person. All right, Randy, good. One for the team.
This was really a lot of fun. I've been in prophetic ministry for a few decades. And one thing that I know was when you're looking to talk with God, it's what we're all interested in. That's what we really want, is to be able to talk with God. And I begin to realize that when we talk with God, what do we call that? Prayer. What is it when God talks to you? It's prophecy. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God is prophecy. So when you talk to God, it's prayer. But when God talks to you, it's prophecy. And so when we did this today, I remember so often I have done this exact same thing. I guess it was God that told me how. But I would go to a secret place too. So when we started today, and Ed said, go find a secret place. And he says, if you have any trouble finding it, I'm out of the roof already, and I'm up in the stratosphere. I'm in the cosmos somewhere. Jesus took me straight up. He sets a blanket out there in the middle of space, puts a couple of chairs on it, sits down and says, let's have a talk. That's literally what happened. And so I was discussing with him a few years ago, I had a partial heart transplant, and I lived through that. There were miracles that took place. But then a few years later, I had a massive stroke. I had a massive stroke last year. And I think just because I'm here standing in front of you, we could see that the Lord did a miracle. So I'm not experiencing all that it could have been. Let's put it that way. But yet I have these strange head experiences. And the strange head experiences, I feel like every brain cell in my brain is firing all at the same time, lasts for about 20 seconds, then it goes away. Well, this has been happening for over a year. So I've been wanting to know, okay, Lord, what is going on? And I've asked the question several times. But today I decided I wanted to pose this to Jesus. Yeshua, I'm okay with either. Yeah. So at any rate, so I'm talking to him about it, and I said, look, I'm okay if this is the disease you've decided to give me that would take my life. That's biblical, because in 2 Corinthians 14, verse 3, it says, and Elisha was given the disease of which he was to die. It's the way the Lord had chose for him to die. Six verse laces, he dies. It has nothing to do with him sinning or anything like that. In fact, somebody was thrown in a grave with him six verses later, and he comes back to life. So he still had the power of God in him even after he died. And I said, if that's what you're doing with me, I'm okay. And it's okay with me if you're giving me this as a as a thorn in my flesh, like you did with Paul. And every healer I've ever been in, you know, known, Catherine Coleman had a heart problem. She died of congestive heart failure. You know, Paul Kane had a tremendous healing, you know, hearing problem. There were several others. Every one of us have always had a thorn in the flesh. I said, if you're giving me this as a thorn in the flesh, I'm okay with it. Because if you're doing it, I'm fine with it. But I really want to know. Guess what Jesus says? It's a thorn in the flesh. And I said, then I won't have to ask the question again. I'm okay with it. And let's move on. Suddenly, this carpet we were on and the chairs, it started to move. I started to think of the planet Saturn. All of a sudden, Saturn comes, and this carpet and the chairs land, and we're sitting on the rings of Saturn, having a conversation. And it was just wonderful. And then Jesus leans over to me and he said, have you ever heard the song, the song of the stars? And I said, and I don't know what you're talking about. He said, it's the symphony of the stars. And I started hearing the most beautiful music. And it was quite healing. That's enough for now.
You know, there's a recording where they've recorded the music in the stars that you can hear. You can actually, NASA that recorded it. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, Christy? Okay. We got a name you, Christy 1 and Christy 2. You're not a thing.
Okay, so I went to my happy place, which was my grandmother's house. And I saw myself making mud pies, and I used to flip rocks over, and I would look for, call them roly-polies or doodle bugs, you know, and you touch them and they would close up. And I was like an only child, so I just played by myself outside all the time. And then the Lord showed me a memory of my stepdad taking me to my grandmother's house. And we were in this boat's wagon, and the windows were down, and he was playing Highway to Hell by AC/DC. And I was like, I don't want to remember that, you know. But anyways, and then I saw, I was standing next to Yeshua, and we were looking at me as a little girl, and he said, she's going to go down a road that I never intended her to go, but I will capture her heart in a moment, and she will never leave my road again. And that's what happened. But it's just to feel his love for me as a little girl and know that he was there and he was watching me and he already knew. I mean, I know that he already knew, but to hear him say it, I already knew, but I'm going to bring you back. So it's good.
Okay, anybody else want to share? Yeah, Alan.
I was so moved by what I talked to you about previously that I forgot something that I think was pretty significant. So while I was in my special place, which is basically just an open grassy field in the middle of a forest with a bench on it. And I was sitting on the bench facing into the field. And at first I saw some animals come out. And what grabbed me was that the only thing that I got from those animals being there was how much they loved each other. And I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to be part of that. And then the clearing filled, not with a fog, not with a darkness, not with a light, but it was just the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting on the bench, and he's saying, come to me. He's saying, come to me. I'm sitting on this bench, and it's got slats, and the sunlight is shining through and casting a shadow on the ground. And I'm trying to get up, and I can't get up. The Holy Spirit is saying, come to me. And I'm saying, I want to come to you. And I can't get up. I'm getting cramps in the back of my legs. And the facilitator says, you know, relax your body. Da, da, da. I'm going like, okay. But I still had cramps. And as I yearned to go to the Holy Spirit, it was like the top half of my body went there. But the bottom half remained stuck on the bench. And my body was like stretched out. And I was coached into asking Yeshua, what is holding me back? What is holding me back? Why can't I get up? And I kept looking at it, and I kept asking. And then I got a vision. And I got a vision from when I was 15 years old. And it had to do with being lonely and alone at 15. And as I started to deal with this image, there was like a yellow blob with a dark bottom. I have no idea what it was. But it started coming up. And as it lifted, I started coming up off the bench. And I said, if this is a stronghold, I want to loose the stronghold, whatever it is. Reveal it to me. Reveal to me what this stronghold is. And I start lifting up off the bench a little bit. And I look down at the bench. Now I'm about 4 feet above the bench. And the slats are gone. The shadows are gone. It's now just a wooden bench with planks. And I just slowly go forward. And my body gets shorter and shorter as my lower part of my body reaches up. And the cramps in my legs go away. And as this is happening, I'm saying, you know, I loose the stronghold. I loose you. And what I got was that this stronghold has been the cause of my illness. And I have been, 3 months ago, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and then kidney failure, and then renal failure. And I'm here right now. And it's all by grace of the Lord. And this is, I would say, the fifth or sixth time in my life where I was given a 2-week or a 3-month death sentence. And I just kept turning to the Lord. I say, my Lord is greater than that. And I've been waiting. I've been healed of the congestive heart failure. And they said I had blockages, and they went into the veins, and they didn't find anything. But I still have symptoms. I'm still on a lot of medication. It's still hard for me to walk. And I just keep praying for that healing. And I believe that what I found in that stronghold is the cause of what's been going on in my body. And I praise God, and I look forward, and I thank him for his healing.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? No pressure. Only if you want to. Okay, ready? All done? All right, how about questions? Anybody have questions? Anything that you don't quite understand? Yes, Al, you got the mic? Over here. Cindy in the back. The other Cindy. We got a number of Cindys here.
I have a question. My question is, in praying for someone and not wanting to pray controlling prayers, when I've prayed for some different people for healing, I have been saying, Spirit, I invite you to look to the Holy Spirit to see what needs to be done first in the healing. I don't want to be in witchcraft or anything, so I want to ask you about that.
When you use the word invite, that gives them it's not a directive, it's an invitation. They can choose to receive it or not. So that's legal. Yep. Good question. Any other questions? Wow. Y'all did good. Facilitator, do you have any comments, anything, any input you want to give? Any final words? Somebody has a question? Oh, okay.
Bethany. Sorry, I had a question that just came to mind. I used to work at a girls' home, and there was one girl that I was working with, and I'm going to kind of tell you the backstory to see, I guess, what you would recommend to do in this situation. But the girl, I had to restrain her because she was starting to get violent. And after she calmed down, I let her go, and then she started to speak about God, because while I was holding her, I was praying. And she started to say, like, God is telling me he's going to take me on a journey. And I had these warning signals going off in my head, saying, I don't think this is the Lord. But I didn't say anything to her because I wasn't sure. And so I was just like, okay, Lord, you could be telling anybody that they're going on a journey. This might be you, so I'm just going to let it go. But I pray that you would show me if it's not, right? And then a few days later, similar situation happened. She had to be restrained again. And she was, you know, after she calmed down, she said, I talked to Jesus, and he said, he's given me too many chances. And I said, that's not the Lord. That's not the Jesus I know. And I knew right away, and I rebuked it, and I said, Jesus doesn't speak to us like that. But in that first situation, it's like the Lord had given me discernment, but I wasn't, you know. So I guess if you deal with those situations in like a God encounter or even just in life, how would you recommend going about that when you get it discernment about something like that?
Yeah, great question. Anytime you have discernment and you have any light bulbs going off, warning, any, some doesn't feel right, boy, you stop. And I would ask the person, I would just let the person know, something doesn't feel right here to me. Do I have permission to take authority over any spirits that might be operating or any false Jesus? And do that, first of all. And then check in and see what happens there. Now, if they want it, if they want to keep that demonic presence, it's not going to leave, you know. And some people want their familiar spirits because that's all they've known, and it protects them, supposedly. So, but I'm not going to, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm not going to, if somebody has that going on in a God encounter and they adamantly refuse to worship the Lord and not this thing, then I'm not, there's no point in continuing. And I'll just, when you're ready to get serious, come back, call me. So, yeah, children are different, though. You know, you can go through the parent in that case, but in that situation, you are the authority. So you had authority. And you just listened to the Lord. It sounds like you did. And yeah. Yeah, Ed?
So I'm looking around and listening, and this is a bit intense, because what this is all about isn't what it seems to be about. The reason we're all here is so much greater. I'm just getting this as I was asking the Lord. Like, it's interesting, because what Randy saw, he also saw something else, and he asked the Lord a question that was so poignant, and his answer has everything to do with everything that you've spoken. So sorry, I get so emotional. It's just, I don't know, I'm an emotional person, Lord. You know that about me. Those that know me just feel the intensity behind the word, because when Randy said it, it became very real. And coming back here and hearing all this, you know, the healing and everything, and the proclamations and the glorifying him that we've done in these past 2 days, and every word over each individual, and the words that we receive collectively are not small. There's something really big happening, and it's the level of understanding that we've asked for. The Lord is going to increase it, and he's asking us for things. He's asking us to ask him things, and he's answering those things, whether it be health or forgiveness or love or grace or the things, whatever it is that we're asking him for, he's giving it. And when we're asking, when Rhonda was talking about our cross, he is giving us each a cross to carry in these times, in these days. And as the days grow shorter, the depth of our understanding is getting deeper into the why behind whatever our suffering is, whatever our areas are that he wants to heal. And it's not about us, it's not about me being healed, it's about something so much greater for his kingdom and for his calling on his body. This is his body. He's wanting us well, and he's healing us in so many ways, and it's all unto something. And honestly, when I heard that come out of his mouth, I said, oh boy. So here it is. After he heard a symphony, right after the symphony, he asked, Lord, when will we see Joel 2, where men will prophesy and there'll be prophecy happening and these things will be fulfilled that you've promised? And the Lord told him, he said, it is coming much, much sooner than you think. And so he said, the Lord said to him, by the end of this year, 2025, the world as you know it will not be the same. And so here we are at the end of our conference, and the Lord is giving us this opportunity of understanding. And I was asking him, you know, is this something to be shared? And I asked Randy, I said, what do you say? And he said, yeah, share it. And so I just want to put that into our hearts, that we would have understanding that as the days go by, that we don't take any moment for granted, that every relationship, every word we speak, every thought we think, every single word, action, deed, everything is unto something much greater than. And you are important. Your walk is important, your life is important, and every single minute and every breath we have, he's given it to us. Because when I hear the miracles of, I mean, we just heard a few miracles that have happened just in the past little bit here, and I'm thinking, wow, Lord, why are you keeping these men alive? Why with this? I just had a stroke a year ago, and look at this man, what you just proclaimed. Look at you. God is doing something. Why? Not just for you to be alive, but so you can share the goodness of the Lord amongst us, and that he's alive and well, and our Father is alive, and our King is alive, and Yeshua is alive, and he's alive and well in all of us. And it's unto something so much greater that we get to be be with him, and we get to walk with him, and we get to sacrifice our lives today and every day. Daily we're laying down our lives for Yeshua, and it's going to be unto something glorious. So just bless us all on this walk that we get to receive these words and this healing. And thank you, Rhonda, for blessing us with this understanding and everything the Lord has poured into you and out of you, and for your fight for life. It matters so much. When we were walking out of my house, I thought about that. I thought, man, I talked to Scott McTiernan on my way over, and he was asking, "And how's Rhonda doing? How's her health?" I said, "Oh my gosh, Scott, she's a miracle. She is a miracle. She has been speaking with." And he goes, "How's her strength?" I said, "Miraculous. It's like as if the cancer never was there. It's just a beer. I know you're still fighting, but for us to receive and to hear and to know what we know now, that we're more powerful and more equipped, and to hear all the testimonies and to see all these beautiful people that have come from all over, and what God has done. Glory to his name. Thank you, Yeshua." Yeah. Thank you, Rhonda.
It's true. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Right, Tina, come on.
I'm not going to tell about my GE experience. What I'm going to what I want to testify to is what I've gotten out of this whole thing, and that is, and I spoke a little bit about it when we were back there in the group, but I just feel like this is so important for people like me who didn't recognize what a God encounter was. You know, I knew when I felt the Spirit of the Lord. I knew when I felt His Spirit with me. And I think this has introduced me to a whole new level of being able to communicate with Him. And it's so important, because what it helped me to realize was that, you know, every day we look for somebody beside us or somebody within our circle who's wiser than us. And we go to them and we talk to them about what the Bible says. And instead of talking to God directly, what does this mean? And you hear people talk about it. Well, I talk to the Lord about it, you know. Well, that's all you ever hear. You never actually hear about what is the content of your conversation with the Lord. But when you sit in your special place and you encounter Him and He responds back to you, it takes it to a whole new level. And there's nothing that we can't ask Him. We can ask Him anything, and He gets to choose if He wants to answer or not. And it's not based on what somebody else says or what somebody else thinks or what their relationship is. It's just between you and Him. And I just think that that was profound for me. That was very profound. And I don't think anybody should be held back. You know, you don't have to go to somebody who is a teacher or a preacher. You're a priest. You're called by Him to be a priest, and you can talk to Him directly about what your questions are.
So we had a great group here. I think of all the, and I've done this for years, but of all the groups that we've had, I felt like this was the most awesome group of guys who were sincere and had a hunger for the Lord. It was really wonderful. Something that she just said and something that the Lord's been speaking to me about recently. Scripture teaches that in the last days, there will be a great deception, and it's not just for the unbelievers, but believers as well. And what's the antidote for deception? It's knowing the truth. And where do we get that truth? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's these sessions that we have with Him where truth is revealed to our heart, and that is critical for us in this day, this time, when deception is rampant.
Recently, a couple of weeks ago, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was quoting the times tables over and over and over and over, and especially the nine tables, just over and over and over and over and over. And the Lord speaks to me and begins to point out to me that it doesn't matter who's saying the times tables, what language, the answers are always the same. 9 times 9 is always 81. I know my times tables now way better than I did when I was a kid. And they never change. They're the same. And he began to show me how that's true of him. And how, just like the times tables never changes, he never changes. Who he was before is who he is today, who he's going to be tomorrow. And then he made this play on words, which my husband's like that. I'm not a play on words girl, so I didn't catch it at the beginning. And he said, therefore, because I'm the same and I never change, you can always count on me. Y'all got it quick. It took me a couple of times reading it to get, oh, count on me. So anyway, and in that he quoted to me John 8, 31 and 32. Now, I've quoted verse 32 so many times to people, but not the full sentence of verse 31. And in this I went, oh, I missed that, the truth of this. So here it is, verse 31. The caption of this is, the Son will make you free. Anybody want to be free? So Yeshua was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So I've taught for years, it's not the truth that sets you free, it's knowing the truth. But there's a way to get the truth, to know that truth. And that's verse 31. If you abide in my word, we've been talking about abiding. He's been talking to me about abiding, abiding, abiding for a while now. If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Are you abiding in his word? If so, you are truly his disciple. If you're not, he says you're not as truly his disciple. And if you're truly his disciple, you will know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. So there's that whole, go back to abiding in his word. He's the word, he's the truth, he's the life. But we have to abide in it. We have to be that branch that is grafted into that vine and stay attached to that truth, the word, and live and abide in it, become one with it. then you're truly my disciples. Wow. He was talking to the Jews who had believed him. And it's like he's saying, that's not enough, guys. I know you believe what I'm saying to you, but here it is, the full package deal. You got to abide in my word. So I encourage all of us to pursue that, continue to pursue the word. Most people view God encounters as inner healing. I'm telling you, there's so much more than that. They are a means, one of many means, of abiding in the word and connecting with the word and staying connected with the word and being his, as a result, becoming his true disciples. And you are truly my disciples. And so I encourage you to take what you've learned, read your manual, read it again. I don't know how many times we've all read it here. And encounter the Lord. And when you're studying, one of the best things the Lord showed me many years ago when I was writing my books was how to take a scripture and take it into that place of encounter and let the Lord show me that scripture. And he's uncovered so many truths to me that I had been taught wrongly by doing that. For example, one that comes to my mind is the story of Abraham sacrificing Isaac. And I had always been taught that Isaac was a type of Yeshua. And, that the father was sacrificing his son. But when I wrote Simon Peter, I was telling that in the book, and the Lord stopped me. He said, you got it all wrong. He said, encounter me over this. And so I did. And he showed me the simple truth that's so obvious there, that Isaac was not a type of Yeshua. Yeshua died. Isaac didn't die. Isaac is the type of us, the sinner, the ones who deserve to die. And in that story, Abraham's getting ready to kill his son, and Yahweh stops him and instead tells him, don't kill Isaac. He said, there's the ram. And he looks and he sees a ram. A ram is a one-year-old sheep. And he sees his one-year-old sheep caught in the thorns by his horns. Horns represent strength. And Yeshua said to me, there I am. There I am wearing a crown of thorns. There I am, the one-year-old ram that was sacrificed on the cross. And Isaac got to go free. And Abraham took that ram and killed that innocent animal in place of Isaac. I all in my encounter and by letting the Lord show me. And it's so life-giving to take scripture and then step into the spirit. Because your imagination can be so much more than your imagination. It can be a door to the spiritual realm. And the more you exercise that, the easier it is. The Lord is my shepherd is a really easy scripture, because most of us have it memorized, to just step into that realm. And there's a page in your booklet that gives you some ideas of how to use scripture and other things to encounter the Lord in your one-on-one private time. I encourage you to consider reading that and consider giving it a try. And the Lord is extremely creative, if you haven't already noticed that, and most often surprises us. He told me one time, he said something in this encounter, and I'm like, wow, that was amazing, but is this even real? This was early on in the early days. Is this even real? And I hear him say inside, he says, Rhonda, you're good, but you're not that good. I went, okay. I rest my case.
It's true.
So, and I believe sometimes that's why he so surprises us. The things he does in encounters that seem, you go, I would have never thought of that. Or, wow, that came out of left field. That's because he knows us, and he knows how much we are going to doubt and not believe and need to be convinced that God is really God, and he really does love to communicate with us if we'll just give him half a chance. And that big old stronghold of doubt and unbelief sometimes can really block you. And Satan knows how to play his cards. So, all right, any last thoughts, any last comments from anybody about anything? Everybody's full and happy and in love with the Lord, and we thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, let me pray over you, and then we'll dismiss. Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for these beautiful people that you drew here, that you brought here, our brothers and sisters that we're going to spend eternity with. I thank you for them. Thank you for this opportunity that we've had to sit at your feet and learn and grow and be stretched and challenged. And I thank you for everything that you've done. And I ask you now that you would put your seal on our spirit, soul, and body, so that nothing can come and steal the seeds that you've planted. I pray that these seeds, that you would water them, you would fertilize them, you would tend them and cultivate them and cause them to grow into a tree of life within us. That many, many people, however many you've foreordained to eat from our branches, that they would bear fruit that remains. That you would be glorified. And that we would keep our eyes fixed on the prize set before us. And that is Yeshua and Yahweh forever and ever and ever and ever with him. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. We ask that you bless every single person when they travel home with safety. We pray over every single person's mind, will, and emotions now, that they would just remain in their rightful position, and that everyone's spirit would be locked and loaded on the prize set before us. And we thank you now. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Amen.